The Association for Diplomatic Studies and Training is an independent, nonprofit organization located in Arlington, Virginia. Over the past 30 years, ADST has produced the largest U.S. diplomatic oral history collection, unveiling the horrifying, thought-provoking, and the absurd events that have helped shape foreign policy. ADST.org, American Diplomacy, Warts and All. Richard Dwyer was deputy chief of mission at the U.S. Embassy in Guyana when the tragedy took place. In his oral history, he recounts the prelude to the massacre, how he pretended to be dead when shot at the airstrip, and how he dealt with the subsequent harrowing events. He was interviewed by ADST's Charles Stewart Kennedy starting in July 1990.
Well, Jonestown was up in the bush in the northwest portion of the country, 150 miles by chartered airplane from Guyana. Mm-hmm. Well, shortly after I got there, Ambassador Burke suggested that one of the first things I ought to do is visit Jonestown along with the chief of the consular section.
Who was that? That
Dick McCoy. Yeah. Whose responsibility the consular affairs were. So I went up there in shortly after I got to Georgetown. There were, I suppose, 900 to 1,000 people there at the time. Jonestown had a half hour or 45 minute program on the Georgetown radio, at least once a week, maybe more often. And it was a publicity, a propaganda type thing of what we're doing in with the jungle, how or the brush, how many acres we've cleared, what we've grown, how we're establishing our pig farm, our chicken ranch, cattle, how we're developing new crops that will grow up here. Sounded very impressive on the radio, and indeed at first glance Jonestown itself was very impressive. It, as I say, reminded the subsequent consular officer of a summer camp. It reminded me a little bit of the early days of a kibbutz in Israel. Mm-hmm. There was still a great deal of that enthusiasm. What was weird was that as they were taking me around to look at these things, these things were being described in precisely exactly the same words that I had heard on a radio broadcast the week before. In other words, they were rote. The Jonestown people, as far as we could see, were not physically abused. They were wiry, and no question that they worked hard. They had to accomplish what they did. But none maintained that they were forced to do so or beaten. And none of the people that that McCoy interviewed privately expressed a desire to leave. The people at Jonestown were a mix. The large proportion of them were urban black, many from the ghettos. There were many elderly people there that were called the seniors. These undoubtedly had an attraction for Jones because they had social security benefits that were sent to them in Guyana, which they would then endorse, and went to the People's Temple. Somewhere about then, we were notified that congressional delegation would be coming to see us. This was to be a delegation of two or three congressmen led by Congressman Leo Ryan of California, whose constituents whose district included a number of constituencies, both amongst the relatives and amongst the people in Jonestown itself. What, looking back on it, it was amazing how little we knew about what had happened in California with the People's Temple, or about Ryan, or what he knew, or for that matter, what consular affairs in the Department of State knew. Ryan had a friend. Ryan had been a high school teacher, and he had had a friend whose grandchildren were at Jonestown and who was very concerned about them. And the father of these children had been killed in an alleged accident in a railroad yard in Los Angeles. The suspicion being, but never proved, that the People's Temple were responsible for his death, that it was in fact a murder. The boy's mother had taken the children to Jonestown with her, and so that was a very personal concern of Congressman Ryan's. And something else that I had been unaware of until he told us, John Burke and myself, on his arrival, that he had a daughter who was very much involved in, first of all, the, Church of Scientology.
Scientologists, yeah.
Yeah, and she had been very much involved in that, mm-hmm. and although Ryan told us he thought that they did much good work, the Church of Scientology, and he wasn't necessarily against, all cults or anything, but that he had had some experience with that. He had been a leader in getting the Congress to pass a resolution urging the pardoning of Patty Hearst. In other words, man who had some experience with publicity and unusual ways to get it. Nonetheless, his interest in Jonestown, I think, was very real. I should say that Ryan arrived not only with the press, but a whole bunch of the relatives, the People's Temple relatives. I don't know how many of them came down, 15 or 20. We were met at the airport, or at the tarmac, at the airstrip, by the local government representative and a group of people from the People's Temple. The group of people from the People's Temple were unfriendly, to say the least. Jim Jones came out eventually. Congressman Ryan and he talked for a while. Ryan explained what he was trying to do. I mean, that he was on an official congressional delegation, that he had no axe to grind, that he wanted to see for himself so he could report to his constituents. Jim Jones gave his usual spiel that these were people who had been emotionally and economically deprived in the United States, and the whole purpose of this wilderness settlement was to remove them from the temptation of the large cities, although he said at one point, if he had to do it over again, maybe he might not remove them quite so far. That the People's Temple were the victims of malicious and untrue propaganda put out by a concerned relative, etc.
This podcast has been brought to you by ADST. For more, check out our website at adst.org. ADST, American Diplomacy, Warts and All.